sky, and your spirit is one with me. Your wings span the mighty ocean. Your eyes see everything. The slightest of your motions can make the continents ring. Yet in all your might and glory, you vanished from the skies, leaving just another story amidst millions of man-made lies. They tell of how you felt.
All right. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Free American Hour. I'm your host, Clay Douglas, publisher of The Free American, spend a little time here in Phoenix, and back in Arizona again, almost like coming home. And I'm going to get right on to my guest today. Becky Garrison is my guest. Hello, Becky, are you with me? And welcome to the Free American Hour.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, my pleasure. I always like to talk with people that have some opinions and have some views, and you certainly have a few. I'd like to talk with you about a number of things. You're billed as a religious satirist.
That is correct, sir.
And you've authored the new Atheist Crusaders, or Unholy Goal.
Yes, that's true. The new Atheist Crusaders and their Unholy Grail is my latest book. You are correct.
And the note I've got about you was talking to about distorting the legacy of Martin Luther King. But and it says here that Sam Harris had this to say about King: when you look at why he preached nonviolence in the degree that he didn't get that from Christianity. He got it from Muhammad Gandhi, and Gandhi got it from James. And here Garrison notes how Harris cherry picked Gandhi's teachings. He conveniently chose to overlook Gandhi's admission of how this peaceful pioneer was influenced by the teachings of Jesus. And on your website, you talk about Jesus.
Well, I am a religious satirist, and what I try to do is dismantle any and all idols that keep people away from love of God, whether it's someone on their religious extremist side or on their secular counterpart. You know, I don't see why we all can't be free to, after some discernment, believe what we want to believe, as long as those beliefs are not harming other people. And this is what the new atheists are claiming. They're claiming that all religion harms people.
Well, my viewpoints, and I've got to tell you, I'm one of those people that question Christianity, or at least churches.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily Christianity. It depends on what brand of Christianity you're following, whether you're following Jesus or Pauline Christianity, and we'll get into that after these messages. Looking forward to it.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Becky Garrison. Becky, I'm not a big fan of the church, but Jesus, that's another matter. And I've made the statement, and it's in my research, that maybe in about 250 A.D., somewhere in that area, they promoted Jesus to God, and gave him more of a divinity status, perhaps because they didn't want men like me aspiring to be the kind of man he was, because he did tell us so that we could do what he did and more. What's your opinion?
Well, I think that the Wittenberg Door, the magazine where I served as a senior contributing writer, was founded for people who love Jesus and have a really hard problem with the institutional church. I mean, one of the biggest mistakes we ever made was when Christianity got aligned with empire. And the moment you start seeing Christians start doing, as what I would say, you know, their actions in accordance with the state and not keeping themselves separate. I think Christianity has always worked the best when it's been at the fringes, when it can be there to really try to put the teachings of Jesus into practice. And that's when it's always been at its best.
To me, Jesus was the first rebel that solved the problem that we have today. How do you fight evil without becoming evil?
Well, if you notice, this people, a lot of people misinterpret him as saying he was a little bit of a wimp. And that, in fact, that's one of the criticisms that I have of the new atheists is, first of all, they claim Jesus never existed. And then secondly, they then claim that he was this, you know, wimpy, wussy thing based on how we're doing, acting. And if you look at it, his teachings was very, very subversive. He never said, for example, in the don't, you know, turn the other cheek. That was the way he was doing that. According to Jewish law, he was telling people that you were forcing people to turn your cheek to the right hand. The person cannot slap you the right hand, because that's the hand you use to slap an equal with. So a lot of his teachings, if you start looking at how the Jewish law was applied in those days and what he was saying, he was subverting a lot of the law to make a political point.
The church would have us remember Jesus hanging on the instrument of torture. Yeah, that they gave us as a graven image to worship. But you know, when I think of Jesus, I think of Jesus chasing the money changers out of the temple.
Well, everybody has their own little different interpretation and version of which part of Jesus they want to emulate. I mean, one of my biggest critiques with these guys, the new atheists, is they tend to insist that all violence is caused by religion, and that Jesus is, you know, basically, you know, we're basically worshiping someone who was tortured and abused and a whole lot of other different misconceptions. And it's not looking at the whole totality of the picture of his life and ministry. And as a group of a number of us, myself included, and we want to say, why don't we start looking at implementing Jesus' teachings here on earth instead of paying all of our attention as to who's going to go to heaven when we die?
Thomas Jefferson took all of the words of Paul and the other apostles out of the Bible and left the words of Jesus, and that was called the Thomas Jefferson Bible.
Well, a woman I know, Phyllis Tickle, just did the exact same thing with her book. She just came out with a book, The Sayings of Jesus, and it's really interesting. We start looking at what Jesus actually said. It's not what you think he said. He was a lot more hardcore in terms of, this is what it means to follow me. This whole little meek lamb version that we have of this little dude is just not historically accurate.
Was, I got into a huge controversy and got attacked by pretty much every preacher out there when I revealed the writings and the studies of a student of divinity, a theological student, who said that we weren't following the teachings of Jesus. We were following the teachings of Paul, and he referred to it as Pauline Christianity. Be a good slave. Don't rebel against your masters. And Jesus never was an advocate of slavery of any sort, was he?
Well, I think one of the problems you have with the Pauline teachings, and again, this is one of my major critiques of fundamentalists of both stripes, they tend to take a very literal interpretation of the Bible without looking and putting it in its proper sociological context. Why exactly, in Paul's instance, he's addressing specific churches with specific issues, and you have to look at the issue he was addressing and how he was choosing to address that particular topic at that particular time. You cannot take all of Paul's teachings and say they universally apply word for word, but look at them in their context and see how that to me is a major teaching tool of the Bible, is to see how these words still have relevance and meaning today, but they have in a much deeper way for me than just looking at them as a proof text. I mean, N.T. Wright says the Bible is not a cookbook for how you're supposed to live your life. It's a, to me, it's an unfolding of how God's people are to live in God's kingdom.
Now, God's people, there's some feeling here that the Bible has been altered or changed or hijacked even by the Jews. And many people claim that Jesus was a Jew. But Pontius Pilate described him as a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, you know, fair-skinned man.
Well, actually, the evidence is pretty strong that Jesus did come from Nazareth, and odds are he was probably Middle Eastern. But this is one of, but again, this is one of those things where I think we tend to get into the nitpicky, so little the nitpicky, we miss the overall message, which is Jesus said the greatest commandment of all was to love God with all your heart and all your soul and love your neighbor as yourself. And when we as Christians do not practice the greatest commandment, we are giving the new atheist fodder to slam us to high heaven and just prove to us that we're not really we're not practicing what we claim to be preaching.
Well, isn't that what I refer to when I'm saying we've how do we fight evil without becoming evil? I mean, if we go out and kill people, to make them believe the way that we believe, then we become the bad people. We become the evil people. It's kind of like what's happening in Iraq right now.
Well, that was one of the reasons why, I mean, Sam Harris said that he wrote the book The End of Faith as a watching the religious violence that was caused post 9/11. And what would our response have been like in Iraq if we wouldn't have enacted Old Testament vengeance, but sat down and really deliberately prayed and figure out what do we do here? You know, how do we end the cycle of violence? Attacking another person, I mean, violence begets violence. So how do you try to end the cycle of violence? And I look at down in South Africa, the work of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And that, to me, is a mind-boggling. To me, it shows the power of God in today's times when you can have a bishop who's overseeing this commission where the victims and perpetrators are coming together and actually seeking forgiveness. And slowly, the country is starting to become healed. To me, that shows that another way is possible. It's very difficult. It's very problematic, but it is possible.
There are different groups that point out that George Bush lied about 930-some-odd items. You know, the Iraqi people never attacked us. They never had anything to do with 9/11, and we've went over and killed a million of them. About 3,000 or 4,000 troops. Well, actually, that information has been given to us is wrong too. We may have lost more than we lost in Vietnam. They just started counting them differently.
What's interesting with that is if you look at. And this is something I think when anybody says all violence is religiously inspired, which is one of the new atheist claims, even the Pope has issued a letter saying this war in Iraq does not meet the criteria of a just war. So one of the debates we need to be having that we're not having here is to explain to people the principles of just war versus the principles of pacifism. There are different, within the religious traditions, different views of when, if ever, it is okay to pick up arms and go to war. And you can't have it, for some reason, whatever, we're not really having, some people are having that discussion. We have that on the God's Politics blog and there are other places that are trying to have that discussion. But people need to really sit down if they're religious people and say, what are the criteria of a just war? And does this current conflict meet that criteria? The answer in this case is it doesn't meet any of the criteria.
Well, I certainly agree with that. But Jesus wasn't exactly a pacifist either. He said, I'm not here for peace. He said, sell your cloak, buy a sword.
But he's also, a lot of the words that he uses are not necessarily literal, because if Jesus wanted to do the ultimate act of violence, he would have allowed Peter to, he would not have restored the soldier's ear, but he would have allowed Peter to continue massacring the soldiers who were trying to take him away. If there ever was a case for trying to attack someone, it would have been when Jesus was carried away by the Romans. And he insisted that his followers do not repay violence with violence. Not only that, but when Peter cut off the ear, as I noted, he restored the man's ear. So that is something, and this is part of the debate, is there ever another time when killing one person would justify to try to save the greater good? And that's the kind of conversation we need to be having, and we're not having that conversation. I'm not hearing it even in this current political race for president. You're not hearing a lot of the theories of just war versus the pacifist being discussed.
All right, hold on a minute, and we'll get right back with Becky Garrison. You're listening to The Free American. I'm Clay Douglas, and my number here, if you want to call in, is 800 and join the conversation, 313-9443. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625. Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
All right, we're back. We're talking with Becky Garrison. And there's one brand of Christianity out there, Becky, and I've had some of the pastors talk about it. They certainly love Jesus, but they differ with the concept of the Jews being the Israelites. They say there's it's a separate thing that you and I are the Israelites, and we crossed the Caucasus Mountains, became Caucasians, and the Jews were just one tribe of Israel. And so there were, and according to the Pontius Pilate's description of Jesus as a blonde-haired, blue-eyed white man, Caucasian, Aryan, maybe, the tribes of Israel, the Israelites, God's people, dispersed and became Germans and became Frenchmen and Englishmen and Norwegians, and that doesn't quite go along with the Schofield version of Christianity. The Schofield Bible that came out had been altered. You know, Jesus, I don't know if that Jesus said he was the Son of God or if he was a Son of God, and I think all of us are sons of God, and how do you feel about that?
Well, I think that if people are spending so much time with this whole ethnic stuff, I find it absolutely, as a religious satirist, perfect fodder. I mean, take it to the extreme, the Christian identity movement believes that the Jews descended from the serpent and that, you know, African Americans are mud people, subhuman. I mean, people tend to come up with all kind of
That is one particular branch that's been pretty much infiltrated by the FBI and the Aryan Nations. I told them, I said, every time you refer to black people as mud people, Jews as kikes, Spanish as spigs, Chinese as chinks, you are shooting yourself in the foot. You are, and you're just flat wrong. You're just flat wrong. You know, we all are God's people.
I mean, I do believe we are. I mean, there is a certain, I mean, in the basic gist of the Christian belief is the basic tenet of the Nicene Creed, which is adopted back in 415. And if someone doesn't want to ascribe to the basic tenets of the Christian faith, they're perfectly happy to say they're something else. But there is a basic distinctive feature of the Christian faith. What upsets me the most about these comments is that people are not expressing the greatest commandment of all, which is to love everyone as equal. And when you're starting to get to these little nitpicky factors of, oh, I must be superior to you because of my race, or, you know, you're inferior, that is not preaching the Christian gospel one whit. And that's where I would, you know, and that's also what's interesting is in the New Atheist books, a lot of what they do, they'll pick up on these aspects of faith. They will say that Ann Coulter and Fred Phelps are exemplars. They represent the Christian faith. And it's our responsibility, those of us that call ourselves Christians, to stand up and say, no, they don't. I mean, I don't think that Ann Coulter does not speak for me. Neither does Fred Phelps. And a lot of these other extremists don't speak for me at all. You know, so you can't just say all the bad that religion has done without also looking at all the good it has done. And that goes back to the original comment with Martin Luther King. You can't say that he's not a Christian. I mean, the man was deeply seated in the black historical churches. So distorting history to try to make your point doesn't strike me as a very scientific move, if you get my drift.
Yeah. The criticism that I've heard of Martin Luther King was that he was supported by communists, or he was run by communists. And, you know, you can say the same thing about presidents like Franklin Delano Roosevelt. You know, he said, some of my best friends are communists, you know. But the criticism that I've heard about Martin Luther was not that about his Christianity, but it was about his plagiarism and the communist associations he had. But he also, his words, whether he borrowed the words from somebody else or took something from someone else, you know, he was advocating equal rights for all races. And I think, frankly, I think that's what our country was founded on. You know, I've been accused of being a racist. I've been accused of being an extremist many, many times by people like the ADL or Southern Poverty Law. You know, it's right on my website. And I can tell you right now, I don't really care whether you're Jewish, whether you're Muslim, whether you're Christian, whether you you just hug trees or cast spells, you know, whatever path you follow. Our Constitution gives us the right to worship as we please. And there were many different sects of Christianity that's talked about in the Bible. And Jesus certainly came through and fulfilled and what he preached and what he talked about is a godly way of life.
Well, again, that's the major reason why I wrote this book, is that the people who are these new atheists are now saying that religion is not only wrong, but it's evil. And we would be much better off if we lived in a world that was totally free of religion.
Well, hang on a minute. We've got to take a break. The phone lines are open if you want to call and talk with Becky Garrison. Our number is 800-313-9443. You're listening to The Free American.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The Insider Secrets Revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing. But they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
We're talking to Becky Garrison. Becky, what do you think? Martin Luther King, I mean, he was a preacher. Preachers have different ways. Every individual, when they read the Bible, they get out of it what they want out of it, what they need out of it sometimes. These atheists out there, the people that are out there going to trash Martin Luther King. Why? Because he was black? Why? Because he had sex? But why? Because he used somebody else's words or followed somebody else's thoughts? I mean, we do that anytime we read Jesus or Gandhi, don't we?
Well, actually, what the atheists are doing is they're downplaying his role in history by saying that the role of Christianity in his ministry was nominal. They're trying to eradicate all the good that religion has done throughout the centuries. So, and if science is a quest for the truth, like they proclaim, then you just put up the good along with the bad. I mean, a lot of, Shelby, one major social movement that was started without having a group of rather radical rebel people who believed in their faith that they were going to stand outside the mainstream and demand that social change be done. That's how slavery was eradicated, women's suffrage, the civil rights movement. All these came about because a group of people decided to follow their religious beliefs. And this started from when, in the beginning, when the Pilgrims and Roger Williams and others came over to the New World seeking religious freedom. This has been a tenet of our country since it's founded.
Today's church, you know, Jesus said when three of you meet in my name, that there I am. There's God. We didn't need the churches, or we didn't need the buildings. You know, and people have asked me, well, how come we never see you in church? I said, well, every time I walk out my front door or back door, I'm in church. You know, this world's my church. And Jesus certainly, when he talked to the people, when he preached to people, you know, he was out of doors. He wasn't confined to a church or a building.
Well, church is definitely beyond a building. It's us as a body of people. But it is, I think, one of the, what I get out of church is I go together with a group of other broken people, and together we form the body of Christ. And I find that I need the community of other people. It's not a singular act that I can do by myself. I'm not a hermit who just lives in a cave and does what I want to do. I interact with the rest of the world, and I find that I need a body of people to be with me. And there is something about worshiping together in a communal space. As you said, Jesus broke bread with his 12 disciples. There's something about breaking bread and having fellowship with my fellow Christians that, to me, helps me immensely in my spiritual journey. It's not healthy for me, I don't find, to be without companionship for too much or an extended period of time.
The modern church, do you see any problems with that? Or the different, is there's so many different churches and so many different interpretations, I guess, of the Bible.
A lot of it is that's what I said back to the Nicene Creed. What holds to me the Christian churches together is the Nicene Creed. And sometimes we get ourselves so, you know, bent out of shape with who interprets this verse versus that verse that we forget the overall ethos of the Christian faith as expressed by the Nicene Creed. And I get frustrated. But you can have difference of opinions. N.T. Wright and Marcus Borg will have a very healthy debate about certain verses, but they'll come to a mutual understanding that we're both trying to discern. This has been going on since the beginning of the Bible. There's always been different prophets, different people took different approaches, but they were all seeking for one common cause, which was to worship and follow God.
The Bible predicts some pretty disturbing events. The mark of the beast. This is not necessarily Jesus' words, but...
One of the biggest problems that you have with the Bible, to me, is the greatest story ever told, and it's told in so many beautiful different ways. It's told in poetry, metaphor. Every literary device you can think of is somehow in that magnificent work, and just to sit there and reduce it to, let's predict who the beast will be, seems to me to be a rather reductionary reading of this amazing book. And I mean, when I read Revelations, to me it's a sign of what might happen. Like what if we don't take care of our planet? What if, I mean, there are things that will happen if we do not, if we continue, for example, to abuse our planet and not think about how we're going to engage in creation care. I'm so excited that the churches are finally waking up to this. So there's a lot of different ways you can look at something besides, let's predict and see who the beast might be.
Run that back right now. Repeat that for me.
Well, I think there's a lot of different ways you can look at the Bible and look at the book of Revelation rather than trying to use it as a road. As I said, N.T. Wright will say the Bible's not a roadblock for how you just try to pick out, point A, point B, point C. It's a manual for how we live our life in kingdom. When I read the book of Revelation, I look at it as a sign of, if we don't take care of our planet, if we don't take care of each other, you know, bad thing, very bad things are going to happen. And they do happen when we don't take care of ourselves and each other and our planet.
The Book of Revelation talks about the mark of the beast. And I've got an article in my magazine right now about the national ID card. And we've been told, and people have been told, that we wouldn't be able to buy and sell unless we take this national ID card. So the Bible is actually predicting something that wouldn't have been capable 100 years ago. The ID card wouldn't work without the RFID chips and without the computers that we've got today. Technology has advanced to a point that the... 100 years ago would have seemed pretty fantastic and might have been used by atheists to point out, this couldn't happen here. They can't do that. They couldn't do that. But they could now with the technology. So technology's advanced to the point that the predictions of the Bible, the prophecies in the Bible, could and are happening now.
Well, that's one of the major problems I think we're having on some level with science and technology, which I point out in the book, The New Atheist Crusaders, is I don't know if I want to be governed by man or be governed by machines. Neither one seems like a reasonable option. And our technology has definitely surpassed the ethical undergirding that we need to have for how to ethically manage such technology. It's definitely, we need to start thinking, I mean, how we use, for example, you know, the end of life, how we use any form of technology. Where are we have deep and intense, you know, theological discussion around what are the, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should.
Okay, let's take a call here. Michael from New York.
Hi, good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
It's a very good show as always, and I just want to mention that we're dealing with a topic here, and your guest is very nice and intelligent and sincere, and I can tell devoted to the Lord, and I respect all that. Well, we're dealing with a topic, though, that is still very little understood even in our times. Nobody really knows anything about the Lord and what he really taught. And the Bible makes some mentions of it in the four Gospels, but of course he said and did a whole lot more than what's recorded in those four little books. And the problem today is the divisions, because everybody has half-truths, and they run with it thinking it's the whole truth, and then hence they argue with each other over we're right, you're wrong. But they're all half-right and all half-wrong, and so still stumbling in darkness until you know the whole truth. And nobody knows what the whole truth is except for a few people like myself, because you can't learn it bottom-up. You can only learn it top-down because of the nature of this information. And so that's the world we're in. The technology issue, yes, technology can be good or bad. I mean, no matter how advanced it is, if we just go back to primitive technology with hammers and shovels, those could still be weapons used against us, or they could be used for good. And so technology is either for good or bad, and unfortunately the controllers down here that are devil worshippers are developing black technologies used to enslave man and the earth and to destroy man and the earth and all of God's creation, and they're suppressing God's technologies, which are essentially clean, non-polluting, light-oriented technologies that are so efficient that they're really cheap or actually no cost at all once they're in use for generating power and energy. And so it's a very deep topic, and it's going to take a really tremendous amount of conversation and disclosure by real experts to enable everyone listening to really get the big picture, understand exactly what we're caught up in and why everything is the way it is and how to get out of this mess. And the problem, going back to with the Christians today, is they like to say, well, here's the most important thing the Lord said. But everything the Lord said is important. If you don't take it all in, it's like a big mathematical formula, an equation. It's, if you leave out one little part of that, then it's not going to work. And so you think you got it all, but if you miss one little variable, you're not going to get that result that you're looking for. And that's the problem we're dealing with.
All right. Listen, Michael, thank you for your call.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Becky, I think that's just a little too general for our conversation here, but do you have any response for Michael?
Well, I think I don't claim that I know all the truth. What I view myself as a seeker. I think that's a healthy, very healthy role. I'm finally at a point in my life where I don't know all the answers, but I'm starting to try to pray on how to ask the right questions. And I feel myself as going on that kind of a path, and where I get infuriated, as I said, like with the new atheists or certain people, is when they say, I have the truth, and this is the truth, and you must follow my truth. That's where, as a religious satirist, my ire goes up, and I just start to say, excuse me, and then I will rebel and say, that's inaccurate.
What do you do besides write books? Do you work, too, or do you...
Well, for profession, I'm a full-time, I'm a writer, but I do enjoy fly fishing, kayaking. I love the outdoors and try to travel when I can and do photography, cooking. I try to have a pretty varied group of interests.
What part of the country are you from?
I was born and raised in North Carolina in the South, and I live in New York City right now.
My condolences.
Oh, I don't mind. I travel a fair amount, and there's something to be said for every place.
I've been to New York many times, and I've always had a pretty good time there. Do you have any suggestions about what to do with the atheist, or do you think it's atheist, or do you think it's other religions? I mean, the whole thing with 9/11, we pointed the finger at the Muslims, but it wasn't necessarily Muslims or Arabs that did 9/11.
Well, what I suggested that I think needs to happen, and I think and I am seeing some people in the Muslim community doing this, is we as Christians, and I mentioned this in my first book, Red and Blue Guy, Black and Blue Church, and I emphasize the point again in the New Atheist Crusaders, to encourage Christians not to give what I would call these faithless fools fodder. You know, look at what we're doing. Are we really trying to follow the teachings of Christ? Or are we, you know, playing into the pawns of some political party? What are we doing here? Look at the Beatitudes. Are you putting the Beatitudes into action? Are you caring for the least of these? What exactly? Are you putting your faith into action? You know, and I think that's something, I get a big kick out of looking at the presidential campaign, because it's kind of like everyone has to play the Jesus card, and it's just getting absolutely silly just to try to watch this, you know, in action. You know, it's gotten to the point where now Barack Obama, who's never been a Muslim, is being accused of being a Muslim simply because his middle name is Hussein. Now, if that's not, you know, creepy on the parts of certain people to try to make that assertion, I don't know what is. And it's also implying that if
you don't think he's a Muslim, I mean, his whole background is Muslim.
He's a Christian, and it's he goes to a Christian church, and that's I believe he's a Christian. I mean, that's what he says he is, and that's what his current worship practices indicate that he is. So
Huckabee is really playing the Christian card. He's convincing. Quite a few people that he is one, but I've seen a lot of information that he isn't really behaving in a Christian manner. And
I don't think any politician really behaves in a Christian manner. I think it's one of the mistakes that we make is that's what I'm saying. When people keep saying, you know, giving the Jesus card for the litmus test, what I do when I go and I vote for someone is I hold my nose and vote for who stinks the least. You know, I don't expect my politicians, I don't like it when they try to play their faith card, they try to play the patriotic card or any other card. Just try to show me what you're going to do as far as enacting laws, and I'll pick whoever I think smells the least. You know, and that's just how but I think it's a mistake for us to try to equate Jesus with any political party, and we get ourselves in a lot of serious trouble whenever we do that.
How do you feel about Ron Paul?
I haven't really made up my mind about the presidential, and as a journalist, I kind of keep who I'm going to vote for, you know, privately. I wait and see who are the candidates, and as I said, I hold my nose and vote for who smells the least. I'm a registered independent, so I don't get to vote in the primaries, unfortunately, here in New York State. So I'll look and see who the nominees are, and when I go to the voting, when I vote, go to the poll and I close the curtain, I hold my nose and vote. I've been doing that for years.
Do you see this country going downhill? I mean, one of the reasons I started doing the show in the magazine years ago was the way the media was covering things. Do you see a problem with George Bush, the way this has been run, the wars that we're fighting, the Federal Reserve, the national debt?
What gives me hope is that none of the candidates running are as bad as what's in the White House. I mean,
hang on a minute. We got to take a break here, and I'll get your opinion, and then we'll close the show out with that.
Okay.
We'll be right back with Becky Garrison.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Becky, we've got a couple of callers on the line. Joel, first. Hello, Joel.
I just wanted to say that your guest, I just got in here late. I don't know who she is, but she's a typical example of the problem in this country. When as people still want to pick the lesser of two evils, is exactly what the rulers and shakers want you to do. As long as you keep doing that and not get down to the nitty gritty.
And which evil is she choosing, sir? I haven't heard her say anything about.
She's going to go in there and vote for the lesser, to the last, Mel DeLeast.
What?
Oh no! I mean, most of my work is done actually through by working with other. I believe that the real change comes in the community and it comes within us. I think one of the biggest mistakes we make is we rely on our politicians to solve everything. Unfortunately, given the voting system, you have to go into the poll and vote for somebody.
No, you don't. if we only had 1% of the total public vote for the next president for the two parties, that would put a. Lesson out there for the politicians that the people are fed up. As long as you keep going voting for the lesser of two evils, things are going to keep getting worse.
I've done my fair share of voting for a third-party candidate or voting for somebody else just because I wanted to make a political point. What I was kind of saying is in this election, we keep waiting to say, oh, all this change is going to happen. Our politicians are going to make it happen.
They never will.
And I keep saying...
political parties, there is only one party.
Thank you for your opinion. I think you're wrong, but thank you. Davey from Dallas. You there with me, Davey?
Good morning there, Clay.
Good morning. How are you?
All right, man. I know we just have a couple minutes here, but say over there in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 28 in the Song of Moses, would you agree that that is directed to the children of Israel?
Is that for me or for...
Yeah, for you, or it could be a rhetorical question since we have such a short amount of time.
I would say that the one thing that I would say that we as Christians tend to forget is that Jesus said he was the fulfillment of the law.
Right,
so
that law is the law of the God of Israel, right?
What Jesus says that he's trying to show us a different way, and what I try to look at in my teachings is he says the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart and all your soul and love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
And that to me is the basic tenet of the Christian.
But the conflicting with there, they were Talmudic. They were traditions of the elders, right, that turned into the Talmud, correct?
The biggest fight were people that, instead of following the law of Moses in love, turned into legalists. And we're following the law and not practicing the love component of it.
The point is that the history of the children of Israel prior to that point, which is where all that text comes from, that scriptural text that he refers to as the law, and when he is teaching in the temple treasury there in John chapter 8, he's not speaking to Yiddish-speaking Jews. He's speaking perhaps to one of descendants of three tribes, Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, because the northern ten tribes, the house of Israel, has been carried away into captivity to the north and to the west. And so the issue really becomes, today we have on planet Earth a state called Israel, which is terrorizing the whole planet with nuclear weapons. And they claim, by virtue of the fact that they're Jewish, which means adherence to the Talmud, and that they hate
all
Jesus...
Right. We're out of time. Becky, your website is BeckyGarrison.com.
That's correct, sir. Thank you.
And if you can get your books at there or at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, right?
That is correct.
All right. Becky, thank you for being on with me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And callers, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. My number's 888-678-1444. And I'll be back in next week.
With